Yeah, the sound of a Harley Davidson. That can only mean one thing. Retired Seattle police cop John Abraham is back with us to answer your questions about the rules of the road. John, welcome.
I can't tell you how much I miss that Harley Davidson.
We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. And our producer, David Hyde, said we used to use a motorcycle sound. You said, that's a Honda. I don't want the Honda. I need the Harley sound.
You got the Harley.
We got the Harley sound.
You got the Harley. Yep. Yeah.
We can also write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Tons of questions to get to. But now you're at Seattle City Light. You're the Safe Driving Program Coordinator. So what's the first thing you're doing with Seattle City Light drivers to make sure that they're safe drivers?
Well, actually, I'm in the process of trying to evaluate the whole driver safety program that's there, looking at driving simulator training, online training, classroom defensive driver training, recognition program, just evaluating the crashes and seeing what the causations are, and working with the utility to try and see if we can reduce the crashes. And I got to tell you, it's a great group of people to work for.
Wow.
They are a fantastic bunch of people that just work very, very hard and drive some very large equipment that doesn't fit on some very narrow roads, and they do the best they can to try and prevent collisions. They're very, very, very safety conscious.
Wow.
It's a pleasure, and I'm very, very proud to be working for them.
We'll have to talk about this more sometime.
The idea
of driving simulators I like. Well, I wanted to start out with a question that I think we get the most frequent question that we get, and here it is.
I'm wondering whether or not it's legal to take the short route on those traffic circles you see all around Seattle. I live on Queen Anne Hill, and it seems like there's a traffic circle in every intersection. And I've been told before that taking the short route, if you're taking a left-hand turn, is actually legal rather than having to go all the way around the traffic circle.
John Abraham, is it sometimes?
No. Well, I take that back. There is some situations where city equipment are in areas where there are traffic circles and they cannot get their vehicles around the circle to make a left or right turn, or it can be easier that way. They have to do that, though, with somebody spotting to make sure that they have got a clear access. But it was a variance written specifically for some city vehicles. Otherwise, no, you need to go to the right of the circle, because it's designed to work that way so that the oncoming vehicles can yield to you as you're in the circle, and then you can yield to vehicles that are in front of you going around the circle. If you cut it and they don't see you coming at you in the opposite direction, then when they start to go around the circle, you are right in their path of travel. And not only once, but you're there for almost their whole driving procedure. So the potential of a collision will or could occur. Therefore, no. Go
so
to the right of the circle.
Even if it's a quiet street, and even if you can look around that corner, you need to go right around the traffic circle.
Well, it boils down to the 3 o'clock in the morning with a red light traffic signal to you, and nobody's coming in any direction. Are you going to wait for the light, or are you going to go through it?
Right.
My suggestion is for both: A, go right, and B, wait for the light to change.
David says, please talk about the obligation car drivers have to yield to pedestrians in unmarked crosswalks and at intersections. I think people know if there's a crosswalk, they yield, but he wants to know about unmarked crosswalks.
Unmarked crosswalks are, if you're at a four-way street and there are no marked crosswalk signs in the street, or if there's a road that crosses where you're proceeding. Say you're going north-south and there's a road that is maybe very small and not well marked, but it is definitely a road going east and west, then yes, there is a law. The law says that you yield pedestrians in a marked crosswalk and or unmarked crosswalk. So it's an assumption that, yes, there is a crosswalk there. They therefore have the right of way. Mid-block, however, I would still yield to them because they don't do well when they hit the front of your car. You might just
Keep your eyes open.
Be very cognizant of it.
Brent's up in Shoreline today, and he's got a question for retired Seattle traffic cop John Abraham. He's still up on the rules, and he can fill you in on them. Brent, what's your question?
Hi. My question is, I drive a Vespa, and often there's no other cars. It will not trigger a green light at a stoplight where, you know, the kind of trigger where it's apparently a magnetic underneath the concrete. And so I've heard a rumor that I can run the red light.
Yeah. I would not recommend it. There's two ways to do this. You're correct. Even a Harley Davidson at times with 1,000 pounds of motorcycle and 250 pounds of motor cop on it won't activate some of the pressure sensors in the roadway. However, what I have done on one occasion, on more than one occasion, is I have actually put my bike on the side stand, walked over to the pedestrian crosswalk, pushed it, and the light has changed. Or the other option I had was, and I have used, was take the free right turn, go down half a block, make a safe U-turn, and proceed the way you have to go. Recommending blowing the red light? No. And the reason being is that you may develop a habit, and one day you may want to blow that red light thinking that there's nothing coming, or you just may not see that vehicle. And if you develop that habit, then it could cost you your life. So I would recommend using the options if it's okay. And don't get in too much of a hurry.
Brent, thanks a lot for your phone call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Bellingham, where we've got Mike on the line. Mike, what's your question for retired Seattle traffic cop John Abraham?
So my question is, what is the maximum level of decibels allowed on the road at any time? I work downtown Bellingham, and sorry to say, the Harleys are extremely loud coming up and down the town there in downtown area. I'm a motorcycle guy. I drive a full-size Honda. Just wondering, is there a law for decibels?
There is a decibel law, and it's sometimes different with each jurisdiction, so I wouldn't come with an educated answer as far as what the decibel ruling is. However, if you contact your local law enforcement agency and they have a traffic unit and it is a persistent problem, they can probably get a meter, sound detection meter, that can indicate the decibel level, and they can set a limit, and they can actually write citations for excessive noise and get people to stay off the throttle.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for your phone call. John, do you have some kind of a muffler on your Honda? On your Honda? Sorry, that was a grave insult, I realize, on your Harley.
They both start with H. It's okay. No worries.
Really? Do you have a muffler on it?
I have mufflers on my personal bike, yes, most definitely. I will say, though, that it might, to some people, be a little loud, but again, I stay off the throttle, so I try not to make a whole lot of noise.
We got a couple of questions about red arrows. Let's hear the first one.
Yes, I'd like to know if ever okay to take a left turn at a solid red left turn arrow.
That would be a no. Don't take a left turn at a solid red arrow. However, on a right red arrow.
In fact, that's the question. Let's hear this next question.
I always get confused about red right arrows. There's a few intersections in town that rather than a red light has a red arrow, and then it turns to a green arrow. And normally you could turn right on red lights, and I don't know what happens when there's a red arrow. Sometimes there's a sign that says no right on red. Sometimes there's nothing, and it's ambiguous to me. So answer that question, that'd be great.
Okay. The situation with the red arrow is if there is a sign that says no right turn on red, then no, you cannot violate the red arrow. The red arrow, in my estimation, in the training I've had, that red arrow is because there is a green arrow. The green arrow indicates to the public that even though the traffic light to the direction they're headed and they're about to make a turn is green, means that they can make that right turn without stopping on that green arrow. The reason it turns red is to stop them, to let them know they can no longer make the free red without slowing down, or the free right turn. They have to stop. Now, if there's no sign that says no right turn on red, then if there's no traffic coming, even with the red arrow, they can make a free right turn, but they have to come to a complete stop.
Nicole wrote to us with this question that I've always had, and it's at the same intersection she's got the question about. She writes, a left turn on red to a one-way is okay, but she wants to know, what about a second turn lane on red? And she gives the example, and this is where I get befuddled all the time, Queen Anne Avenue and Roy. You're coming down Roy, it's one-way. Queen Anne to the left is one-way. And if I'm in the middle lane, I'm always a little confused about whether I can take that left on red.
You can take the left on red, however— The problem with that one is that the people that are making the free right turn or the free left on the curb lane have a tendency to go into the middle lane immediately. That is something that has been happening quite a bit. No, I would recommend that if you have the time, wait for the light to change and then make the turn. And again, even though you're making the turn with a green light, you might want to also be very cognizant of the car on your left. May want to try moving right into that center lane.
Yeah, make sure they know that you're there before they pull right over to against you. Let's go to Cleo, who's listening today up in Mount Vernon. Cleo, good afternoon. How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
What's your question for John Abraham?
If the speed limit on the motorway is 70 for cars, does that change if I'm towing a boat or a trailer?
It would depend on the size of the boat or the trailer. If you're towing a 42 or 43 footer, your speed limit should be down around 60 just for handling. Your GVW might not be sufficient to put you over the limit for.
I'm sorry.
Gross vehicle weight might not be sufficient, depending on what kind of a trailer you're pulling, to cause you to fall into the trucks dropping to 60 or 65 miles an hour. If you're pulling something big and heavy, I would recommend you drop your speed. Is it required? It all depends on how much you weigh and how long your trailer is.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Gary from Burien calls to challenge you, John Abraham. He's been waiting for a chance to do this for months. He says, on one of the programs, you said an opinion that Gary says is dead wrong. It must be an opinion, thinks Gary, because he doesn't believe it's the law. He quotes you as saying that the correct way to make a left turn at an intersection controlled by a light but without a left turn arrow is for all vehicles waiting to turn left to wait behind the crosswalk until all oncoming traffic has passed, then enter the intersection and make the turn. He writes, well, the only reason we don't have total gridlock everywhere is every day that most people do the exact opposite of that. So was that an opinion? First of all, do you acknowledge that you said that? And second of all, was it an opinion or was it a ruling of law?
Don't take a driver's test with the driver training schools that are doing the test, because if you pull into the intersection before you can make a turn past a crosswalk, it's going to be a failure score. We teach all the young teenage drivers that they are to wait at the stop line and enter the intersection only when they can proceed forward and fit through traffic and make the legal or make the left turn, not to sit in the intersection and wait to make the left turn. So if you read the new driver's guide, you'll probably see that I believe that's in there, mm-hmm. although I'm not certain.
Let's go to downtown Seattle. We've got Matt on the line. Matt, what's your question for John Abraham?
Hi, I'm just curious. I walk around Seattle downtown quite a bit, and I'm always puzzled by bicyclists riding on the sidewalks. And I've heard varying opinions as to whether it's legal or not. I just thought that perhaps it wasn't. I'm curious if you can answer that.
With the bicycle riding that goes on in the city of Seattle, in the old days, I would have told you, yes, it was illegal for a bicycle to ride on the sidewalk. I don't think I can answer that definitively right at the moment, because there is so much going on with the new city's policy towards bicycle riding and the roads and lanes that they want to establish. So I would personally, I say no, but I do see a lot of bicycles on the sidewalk I don't see any enforcement, so I'm afraid I'm going to probably have to research that one a little bit for you to get you a definitive answer. Does that help?
Okay, that's fine. Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you for your call, Matt. But that kind of brings up something interesting, John. Is there any place you can actually look online to see what the laws are, the most current laws, their up-to-date changes? Do you have to just rely, can a civilian go check it out?
Yeah, you should be able to access it on departmentallicensing.com, and you should mm-hmm. be able to go in, or you can go to RCW's Title 46, which is most of the traffic laws for the state of Washington, and you can actually research your specific question and go to the different areas. They itemize it very well to say, you know, bicycles, cars, trucks, and you can go to the specific section of Title 46.
So in this instance, you could look for bicycles and sidewalks.
Correct. In the pedestrian code a lot of times, yeah.
Okay. You know, there's been a lot the last week or so about texting and driving. Werner Herzog, the famous German director, just came out with a film about the dangers of texting and driving, a powerful emotional film, a lot of strong reactions to it. And then the same week that we found out about that, there's a new study suggesting that texting may not increase accidents after all. That's what Tiffany wanted to ask about. We've got a link to that study and to the Werner Herzog film at KUOW's Ross Reynolds on Facebook if you'd like to see what I'm talking about. But Tiffany asks, does your experience say otherwise, that texting does increase accidents? What's your experience?
My experience is yes. If you're driving down I-5 and someone is texting, I'm quite sure that you as a layperson would be able to identify that vehicle and say, I'll lay $100 that person is texting, because they're all over the lane. They're crossing over the lane divider bumps, which brings them back over to the proper side of the lane they're supposed to be on, and they end up crossing over the other side. And yes, there are a lot more collisions, in my estimation, by people texting and talking on the phone without hands-free. And even hands-free is a distractor. I am working with different training units for defensive driving, and distracted driving is going to be one big component of every class that I put on. And it's if I could arrange from the car companies that when you sit in your car, when you close the door, that there was some kind of a micro switch in there that shut off every electronic device, such as a laptop or a cell phone or a BlackBerry, then I would love to see it, because I think it would save a lot of lives.
John, you were shaking your head when I mentioned that Werner Herzog film. Have you seen it?
No, I have not seen it yet, but I have heard of it, yes. And also, if you have an opportunity to view some of the spot commercials that they do in Great Britain, they are really emphasizing distracted drivers, especially with teenage drivers and young drivers.
Let's go up to Bellingham. We've got Zoe on the line with a question for John Abraham. Zoe, good afternoon. What's your question?
Hi. My question is about buses, city buses. And so I ride my bike often, and from coming up behind a bus that's stopped to pick up passengers, my instinct is just to stop and wait, because on a bike I just assume that they don't see me. But in a car, I was wondering if there's no oncoming traffic, if it's okay to just pass the stopped bus if it doesn't have its turn signal on.
It would depend on the markings in the roadway, the width of the road, the parked cars on the other side of the road, the pedestrian traffic. It's not an easy question to answer. It would depend on the totality of the situation. The rule of thumb is no, wait for the bus to move. Because it could pull out without a signal while you're starting to pass. And again, you're right, even in a car, he may not see you, depending on the location of the car and the mirror at the time the driver makes the move.
Zoe, thanks for your call. Let's go to another call we got earlier today.
I do deliveries downtown Seattle, and I'm wondering if the alleys downtown are one way, north or south.
Yes, they are. I apologize. I think they're one-way northbound. I'm not sure. And some of them are marked. As you're about to enter the alley, it'll say either do not enter, or if you go to the other end, it'll say one way. But I believe they're one-way northbound. But I'd have to check on that one, too, to be right on the money.
If you're downtown right now, give us a call, 206-543-5869, and you're looking at one of those alleys, and tell us what you see. Let's go to Jennifer, listening to us today in Ballard, for our next question. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. My question is about riding south on 65th from Green Light to the U District. The lanes under the freeway are one way, and the bicycle lane is on the left. Should I expect other riders going my same direction to pass me on the right or left? I'm always confused by that.
Interesting. Okay, so you're one way, and you're one way what, eastbound or southbound?
Kind of south.
And the buses and the bicycles are supposed to be going, they're going the opposite direction.
The bicycles are going the same way as the one-way traffic. The lanes are split under I-5.
They should pass on probably on your right.
Okay.
If I'm getting the picture correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they shouldn't be passing you on the left. No.
Right, okay. I didn't know if the on the left rule held there or what to do.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I regret that I would have to see the circumstance, but, you know, bicycle riders can get impatient as well as car riders, and they're just, no, you're not going fast enough, and I can pedal at 35, and you're only doing 25, so
right. Here
I go.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye, Jennifer. Thanks for your call. And John Abraham, thank you so much for stopping by again. We really appreciate it.
Are we done?
We're all done for today.
Oh, come on. I'm just getting warmed up.
We'll be back.
All right.
John Abraham, retired Seattle traffic cop. Our program produced by David Hyde with Arwen Nix. And you're listening to KUOW 94.9 Seattle. Jack Walters is our engineer. I'm Ross Reynolds.